I'd like you to open your Bibles, please, to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. This morning I'm preaching a message on a miracle of a healing of a blind man. Its only record is in Mark. It's not mentioned in Matthew. It's not mentioned in Luke or John or anywhere else. And it's a very unique miracle. And I'd like you to look at it this morning, Mark chapter 8, verse 22. Charge. A Sunday school joke. You have to be there to know what that means, right? All right. Charge, a woman's favorite word. And a man, men are guilty too, amen? Fellas, amen? Amen. All right, well, we don't want to chase those rabbits this morning. Mark chapter 8. Verse 22 through 25. But it is important to keep your spending under control. Amen? In these days, you can get behind so quickly because everything's expensive. But verse 22, And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him, and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand, and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes. Did you read that? Unusual, isn't it? Maybe a little degrading, isn't it? You know, so many people have trouble with the way God does things. That's why so many folks don't come to the simplicity of salvation. They say, oh, believing is too easy. It's got to be some other way. Amen? They question God, question his word, fail to trust him. Notice, had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, and he asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up. That's always the good key. When we start looking up to God, good things are going to happen. Amen? And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. His healing is starting. It's not right away, this particular one. It's two-stage healing. Verse 25. After that, he put his hands again upon his eyes, and I like this, and this is the title of my message, and made him look up. And he was restored and saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. He made him look up. Father in heaven, we ask you to bless us as we are taking a look at this unique miracle that you performed so many years ago. Open our hearts to it, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Happened in Bethsaida. Bethsaida is a place where God did many miracles. It is told to us in Matthew 11:21. Jesus says these words in 11:21, and he is preaching judgment. He's saying, woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. That's the town. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, they would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Mighty works in Bethsaida. Many mighty works in that city, and yet the city repented not. The Bible is teaching us there's greater judgment for those that have witnessed the miraculous power of God, and they have seen great things from God. Amen. There's greater judgment to those that have been witnessed to. There's greater judgment to those that have seen changed lives, and God's mighty working in their life, and they still refuse him. This is a city where Jesus fed 5,000 people. Amen. Miraculously. Interesting. And since he is recognized in this city, and he wants to help a single individual, that's what I like about this miracle. It's personal. You know, salvation is personal. It's one-on-one. It's you and your God. Amen? It's you, personally. And Jesus met this person individually, this single person. And he didn't want to cause a great disturbance in the town. And he didn't want unnecessary publicity. And so he meets him outside the town. And it's interesting that he uses saliva. If you look back a little bit in Mark chapter 7, verse 33, is another time when he does the same thing, but this time he heals somebody who's deaf. They can't hear. Amen? They can't hear. Imagine what it's like not to be able to hear. To be totally deaf. I guess it could be a blessing in some ways, but to not be able to hear. Notice verse 33, and he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue and looked up to heaven and sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plainly. He's healed of his not being able to hear or speak. But it's interesting, he used his finger there. Jesus didn't have to touch this blind man to heal him. Amen? Some people put God in some kind of a theological box where he has to do something the same way every time. He didn't have to touch him. But he chose to do so on that occasion. But he did ask this person to do one thing. He told him to look up. And he made him look up. And he healed him in two stages. After he looked intently, did he see all things clearly? The first look, he didn't see much. The first look, he saw blurred vision. I've had people say, Pastor, God hasn't done anything for me, and I went to church two whole times in a row. I say, la-ti-da. And how long have you been away from God? How many years? You need a better look. Amen. You need to look a little more intently. Oh yes, he made him look up. In other words, get a good look. Get a good look. A lot of people go away from Christianity discouraged because they really never got a good look. I've had people say, Pastor, I like your church, but, and then they give me the list. And I'm thinking, you never came on Wednesday night. You never came on Sunday night. You never went out on visitation. You never tried to join a choir or get involved or open up a little bit and really give it a try. Get a good look. Amen. So many folks go away from Christ because they never really got a good look. Well, interesting. It's interesting when the Lord healed him, he told him to go home. Don't go to the city. Go home. The miracle is only recorded in Mark, as I said. And there's not much really written about this miracle in commentaries. It's very unique. I also noticed that this blind man was brought there by others. Perhaps because of their faith in Jesus. Boy, a person is blessed to have Christian friends, even if they're not a Christian. Amen? Amen. I wonder if they know how blessed they really are. Because of the faith of others, they brought him to that place. This man saw like some of us do now, faintly, in spiritual things. But what God begins in our life, he will finish. Amen. He which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. It's a miracle we can understand anything at all about God. Aren't you glad he has opened our eyes? Amen. One day we'll not walk by faith anymore. One day we also will see all things plainly when we see Christ. This man was in a terrible situation. Can you imagine going through life not being able to see anything at all? Not being able to see your loved ones? Not being able to see your children? Not being able to see the beauty of God's creation and nature and all the things that go with it? And Jesus took him by the hand, the Bible says. You know, it's a happy day when God takes us by the hand. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. And this talks to us about we have to make a break with the world to grow. Have to make a break with the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I'd like us to look at a few things we receive from looking up. What do we see when we look up? Well, we mentioned it briefly. We see salvation when we look up. Look unto me, Isaiah said, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Jesus is God's gift that came down from heaven. Looking up, we see eternal life in Christ. Look at Christ for salvation. Don't look in religion. It will be defeating. Don't look at the sacraments. They don't save. Don't look at communion. It won't save. Knowing a church creed, it's good to know things, but it won't save. Don't look to your last rites. Don't think I'm going to pray you into heaven after you're gone. Amen? Last rites don't save. Don't look at baptism. Doesn't save. Don't look at good deeds. Won't save. Don't look at reforming, turning over a new leaf. That won't save. Preacher said, well, he turned over a new leaf, but it's the same old dirty book. What about all the paths that won't save? Jesus said, marvel not, I said unto thee, you must be born again. Yes, looking unto Christ, we find salvation. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. I'm glad that God made salvation so easy that all the work has been done. The planning of it, the carrying out of it, the execution of it on the cross. And then Jesus was buried according to the scriptures, and 3 days later he arose, and he says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. Yes, look up for salvation. Look up to have eternal life is in him. And he that hath the Son hath life. I love the old hymns because they tell us about God. They tell us about the character of God and the personality of God. Oh, yes, there are good music that's done today every once in a while. There's one that will pass the test of time. But you know, there's a lot of new music today that's more about me, how I love God. Oh, how I love God. Truth is, we don't really love him all that much sometimes. But he always loves us. He's always faithful to us. There's a catchy tune, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's something about that name. It's a nice song, but they never tell you what it is that's so great about his name. And you sing it and you're blessed, but then you wonder, well, what does it mean? I guess I'm old-fashioned that way. Can't change it. We look up for cleansing. For the Christian, we are made clean through the Word of God. Amen? There's nothing that will bless our soul like a good look into the precious Word of God. If we want to feel clean in our soul, clean in our mind, we have to take a good look into the Word of God. Look up. Look up Matthew. Look up Mark. Look up Luke, John. Romans, Acts, Psalms, Proverbs, somewhere in there. Get a good look, and you'll be blessed. Open the Bible. So many of us look to different things. We look to the young or the old and the restless. We look to all my grandchildren. When I first got married, I still remember the first day it came on. Some of those codgers are still at it. They should change the title to all my grandchildren or my great-grandchildren. Oh, listen. For cleansing, we've got to look into God's Word. Amen? Got to look into God's Word. Thirdly, we need to look up for guidance. I got to admire Brother Edwards. 75 years old, moving companies, packing everything they own into a truck. They're moving by faith hundreds and hundreds of miles to start over again. And he's just as excited today as he was when he started off in the ministry. That tells you something about doing the will of God, knowing the will of God for your life, and rejoicing in it, whatever it is. Looking up to him for guidance. I'm glad that God has promised to guide us. The Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Amen? Young people, God has promised to guide your path, but you have to look to him. You got to do your homework. You got to look to him. You got to show him that you really want guidance. You say, well, how do I look to him? Well, one thing is you're doing it already. You're coming to God's house. Amen. You look to him by going to the scriptures. You look to him by praying. You look to him by earnestly asking his guidance. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, God says, put me first. I'll give you all other things that are of interest to you. In my way, in my time, and you'll be pleased with it. You'll be happy with my choices for you, because in yielding to my will, they will also be your choices. I'd like to share a verse for our young people this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. You find it? All right. This is a verse for young people and the young at heart, but mostly young people. Let's read it together. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith. God says, young people, you be an example to us. Isn't that strange? We're supposed to be the example to them. We're supposed to be the one to show them faithfulness. We're supposed to be the one to show them the way. But God is saying to a young person, you be an example of the believers. Don't let anyone despise the fact that you're young. You be the example. You show us how to be faithful. I'll tell you, a young person that's dedicated to the Lord can do great things. Can bring a revival to any church. It's so refreshing to see a young person that truly loves God, that truly is not ashamed of who they belong to, and is faithful, and loves going to be with God's people. Look up, young people, for guidance. He will guide you. If you're serious about it. Look up also for comfort. I'm glad the Bible says that I will comfort you. We need to look up in the time of sorrow. Some people look to drink to comfort them. The only thing that you get from drink is a hangover and a headache. Say, how do you know? We won't even go there. I was saved a long time ago. Thank you very much. Basically, I got tired of waking up on the floor and trying to find out where the door was, as the song says. Some people look to food. We won't go there either. I think we all like it a little bit too much, probably. Some people look to other things for comfort instead of looking up. God will always comfort us when we look up. Amen. We're to look up also when we are tempted. Say, Pastor, well, that doesn't pertain to me. I'm never tempted. You just lied in church. Amen. Remember to look up in the time of temptation. The Bible says He's able to make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. That's what the Bible says. Amen? Yes, in the time of temptation, we need to look up. I'd like you to look at Genesis 39 quickly. What would have happened to Joseph if he yielded to that temptation just one time? A woman had her eye on him. Not only just a woman, but the boss's wife. Genesis 39:7. You find it? How many of you found it? Okay, the rest of you can listen if you can't find it easily. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hands. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. Because thou art his wife, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? What a man. He viewed adultery as great wickedness. And it is. Adultery is still great wickedness. There's nothing entertaining about it. It's bad news. Notice verse number 10. And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day. This woman was intense. Day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her. Notice. Or to be with her. He was very cautious as to where he was. He didn't want to be around her. Didn't want to be around the temptation. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house, notice, to do his business. That's all he was about. And there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment. Boy, this sounds like a soap opera so far, doesn't it? Except this guy does the right thing. Lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. He was so scared when she reached out for his garment that just I could see him jumping and running for all he was worth. The only problem is he left without any clothes. And so notice, verse 13, it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice, liar, liar, hair's on fire. Amen. And it came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and she cried. And he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass as I lifted up my voice and cried that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. What would happen if he'd have given into that temptation? He would not have been in prison. He'd have been dead. Amen? And so, when we're tempted, we need to look up to the Lord during the time of temptation. He would have lost everything in his life by giving in just one time. You know, that's the way Satan is. He's always active. He's always plotting. He's always planning. When we're tempted, we need to look up, that's for sure. We also need to look up in the time of death. When we start to die, we need to look up. Truth is, the moment we're born, we're starting to die. That's true. We can look up in the time of death. The Lord will deliver us through the valley of the shadow of death. I thank God for our nursing home ministry. We go there with gospel and with songs of encouragement, because those are places where people are just waiting to meet God. They're just waiting. They've done all their living. They've raised all their children. They've worked and they've retired, and now they're just being made comfortable and they're waiting to meet God. I'm glad that we are able to go there and to tell them about heaven and tell them about Christ through song and ministry and the word. And for those people that go with Brother Jonathan, yes, thank God, when we get ready to die, we can look up. And lastly, we can look up for all of our tomorrows. The Bible says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Goodness and mercy. I heard a preacher preach a sermon on the two sheepdogs, goodness and mercy, that follow. You know, a sheepdog will follow you. We've got a border collie. She's crazy. Her name is Katie. I could be walking across the field, and that dog is running around me in big circles. And I stop to lay down. I start walking to go around me. And I think of that verse, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. God's two sheepdogs. Aren't you glad when you're living for the Lord, goodness and mercy do follow you all the days of your life? May God open our eyes to his goodness and his mercy, and to stop whining and complaining and count our many blessings and name them one by one. And it will surprise us what the Lord has really done in our life. And we can always look up for encouragement. Some people look to others too much for encouragement. You know what? If we really got serious about this book, it would encourage us. Amen? I shudder to think of how many Christians will be in heaven one day and meet their Lord, having not read the Bible through one time. How embarrassing that's going to be. I'm glad I've read it through. Not nearly enough times. I wish I read it through more and more and more times. But we need to work on it all the time. You know, it's just 3 chapters a day. You can read through the greatest book once a year, every year. Don't sound like a lot, but you can do it. By the grace of God, you can do it. Well, he made him look up. We need to look up, first of all, for salvation, for cleansing, for guidance, for comfort, for temptation, in death, and all our tomorrows. Let's keep looking up, because one of these days, the trumpet's going to sound, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. I don't expect the world to get better. I expect there to be more pressure as we live in these last days, in the perilous days. But you know what? Jesus is coming back. And he's going to claim his bride. One of these days, he's going to come back. And those that aren't saved are going to be left behind. I wonder, when the trumpet sounds, if it's on a Sunday morning, how many would still go to church and find it empty? And they get there and it's empty, and they said, you know, today I was going to get saved today. I was really thinking about it. You know what? If I were not saved, I wouldn't think about it any longer. Because salvation is always in the present tense, today. If you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. I'm coming up on an anniversary. May 23rd, 1971. I accepted Christ as my Savior 35 years ago. God is so good. I wish I could tell you how much He's blessed us, blessed our lives. We serve a great God. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your word. We thank you that we can come and on the Lord's Day in your house, in your church, and we can receive fellowship and worship you. Father, I'm sure that some come this morning with a heavy heart. Some come this morning maybe facing a great trial. Some come this morning looking for an answer. Lord, I pray that you would help them to be able to look up and to find that in you they can receive whatever it is they need. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed as our pianist plays a verse of invitation. First of all, I want to ask you a personal question. This man was healed in a personal way by touch of the Master's hand, and he made him look up into his face. Has God been trying to get someone's attention this morning? Trying to get you to look up to Him only, not religion. Look to Him only, not in good works. Look to Him only on the finished work that He did on the cross as He bled, suffered, and died so that we could be atoned for, we could be adopted, and we could receive a free gift this morning. If you're still not born again of the Spirit of God, come to Him this morning. Look up to Him by faith. Receive Him by faith. Ask Him right now where you're seeing. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in. I trust you only today. Come into my heart. If you're here this morning as a believer and God's been speaking to you about baptism or church membership, would you come this morning as we get ready soon to sing our invitational song? If He is prompting you, if the Holy Spirit's prompting you to join the church or get baptized, maybe rededicate your life if you wandered far away from God. You haven't been living for Him. You can still come to Him and He can take the rest of your days and you can serve Him and be happy. Father, have your will this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Please